मज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्या ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्दश्रीअद्वैतगदाधरश्रीवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू हिज होलीनेस जय पताका स्वामी गुरु महाराज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू राधानाथ स्वामी महाराज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू वैष्णवाज इन ऑल द देशाज इन ऑल द यूनिवर्सेस इन ऑल द ब्रह्मांडाज। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। सो टुडे आई थॉट ऑफ डिस्कसिंग एन एब्स्ट्रैक्ट सब्जेक्ट मैटर एंड आई एम माइसेल्फ वेरी थ्रिल्ड अबाउट दैट सब्जेक्ट मैटर। एट वन पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम इन बरसाना आई हैव स्पोकन अबाउट इट। इट्स अ वेरी यूनिक थॉट प्रोसेस। सो द टॉपिक टुडे इज कॉल्ड एज क्षीर सागर, the milk ocean, the ocean of milk, where the Kshir Sagar, Kshir Udok Shahi Vishnu resides. So brief introduction of this holy place is that Lord Krishna expands into Balaram as the first Leela avatar. Then Balaram expands into Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vasudev. Then Sankarshan 1 expands into Sankarshan 2, and then Sankarshan 2 expands into Narayan, and till Narayan all the personalities which we just described are controlling the spiritual world, rather maintaining the spiritual world and presiding over the spiritual world. And there are unlimited Vishnus which are expansion of Narayan Bhagwan, variety of weapons in the hand, in variety of hands, Shankha Chakra Padma Gata, in different hands, so different combinations. And this is all spiritual world. The spiritual world is floating in Brahma Jyoti, that is the effulgence of the Lord, which is coming from His divine body, from Goloka Vrindavan. And Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost and the superior most holy place, spiritual world. Then there is a spiritual Dwarka next to that. Then there is a spiritual Ayodhya, spiritual Mathura. Then there are Vaikuntha planets in Brahma Jyoti. And then there is Viraja River. Viraja River is Viraja, which is separating the material world from the spiritual world. And after Viraja, the material world starts. The material world is under a cloud called Mahat Tattva, which is a huge cloud, and it occludes or obstructs the blue light, Brahma Jyoti, coming from the spiritual world. And it creates darkness. It creates a shadow which is full of darkness. And in that darkness, there's an ocean which is created by the expansion of Lord Narayan called Mahavishnu or Karana Udakashayi Vishnu. From his pores of this body, divine waters come out, and the ocean is called as Karana Ocean or causal ocean. And in that ocean is lying that great personality called Mahavishnu. And he is in Yoga Nidra, and he is breathing in and breathing out. And when he breathes out from the pores of his body, from all over the body, seed forms of universes come out. And those unlimited seed forms of universes come out and they develop, they become mature, and they develop into Brahmandas, variety of Brahmandas, not a single one is same as the other one. And now you consider that one Brahmanda of all those unlimited Brahmandas which has come out from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. And in that particular Brahmanda, this Mahavishnu expands into Garbha Udaka Shayi Vishnu. And this Brahmanda also, which is like an egg, it's also half filled with water. And Garbhodaka Shaivi Vishnu is an expansion of Mahavishnu. That means there is one Mahavishnu, but there are unlimited Garbhodaka Shai Vishnus, which are there in each of universes. And then from the, he is also lying on an ocean, and there is Sheshanaga, Ananta Shesha, which is the expansion of Balarama, which is there in the spiritual world. Ananta Shesha is a form of big snake, which creates a big bedstead for Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, also creates a nice umbrella like chhatra over Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. He is four-armed, he is lying down in that on that bed of Sheshanaga. At his lotus feet is Lakshmi Devi. She is massaging the feet of the Lord, constantly serving the Lord as Acharya of Pada Sevanam. And from this particular Vishnu, in that particular one universe, from his navel, a beautiful lotus flower comes up. Very beautiful stalk is there, and there are petals, and in that petal Lord Brahma takes birth. And that petal, that lotus flower is called Brahmaloka. And in that Brahmaloka, the first living entity which is born is Lord Brahma, the four-headed Lord Brahma. Especially we are talking about our particular universe, where we have four directions, main four directions, and our Brahma is four-headed. And then from the topmost Brahmaloka, below that in the stalk, till the point of the origin of the lotus, the stalk, the stem, all the lokas develop. And there are seven heavenly planets, one earthly planetary system, and six, there are lower planetary systems. Atala, Sutala, Vitala, Talatala, Rasatala, like that. So this is the, in short, it's a very great and very detailed description is there in Bhagavatam. But in short, understanding of the creation, the spiritual world, and how the material world manifests itself. And then, when this Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu has given birth to Brahma, that means Brahma becomes Vayambhu. Brahma doesn't have mother. He is born straight from his father. So his father is his mother, everything is same. And then this Brahma is bewildered, and that Brahma is looking up and down. He goes all the way through the stalk, the stem of the lotus, and finds out, what is all this about? Why I am here? Who am I? So then this particular Vishnu, called Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, he speaks Chatushloki Bhagavatam in such a way, directly in the heart of Brahma, in such a way that all that is supposed to be known, all that needs to be known, all that needs to be realized, including his duties, including who is he, including his connection with the Supreme Lord, his services, and the process of creation, how to maintain it, how to develop, how to create living entities, variety of species, their lifespan, what will happen in their lifespan, every single thing that he needs to know was transferred in his heart through these four shlokas of Bhagavatam called Chatushloki Bhagavatam. And with that, the one who was in complete illusion or darkness or bewildered becomes completely and perfectly realized soul. He also understands the whole plight of the material world, who will come there, who will take birth. And you know, when he understands who is going to come there, whom I am going to give bodies to, which souls are going to come, the karma, the cycles of karma, how to give reaction to the karma, then he becomes very compassionate, extremely compassionate. And then he performs tapasya, and then Lord Vishnu gives him darshan, and there are many stories about his tapasya. I will not go into that. So now the whole material world is created in one particular Brahmanda. And then this Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, after creating Brahma, he expands into another Vishnu called as Kshira Udaka Shai Vishnu. He first creates the ocean of milk, which is our today's subject, Kshira Sagara. And on that ocean of milk, another avatar of Balaramji, Ananta Shesha, is manifesting, and he becomes a bed again for Lord Vishnu, Kshira Udakshai Vishnu. And then Again, Lakshmi appears there and he is lying on the bed of Sheshanaga. And that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu expands into each and every living entity created by Brahma as Paramatma in the heart. So this is how is Paramatma coming in our heart. Paramatma is the expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So we understand that there are unlimited Garbhodakshaya Vishnus and unlimited Kshirodakshaya Vishnus, because each one will have one Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, one Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and there will be unlimited Brahmandas, like there are mustard seeds in one gunny sack. We cannot count them, they are countless. And one Kshirodakshaya Vishnu expands into each and everybody's heart. Each species will have each living entity. Say insects, you consider, then you take unlimited insects varieties are there, and you take one insect, in that each insect, this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu enters as Paramatma, as a everlasting friend, well-wisher, guide. And that particular place where this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is lying, that is called as Kshirasagara. And also it is called as Shvetadvipa, where this Vishnu lies. And that is also called as local Vaikuntha. This is the local Vaikuntha of that particular universe. I'll tell you a small story. Whenever our Mother Earth is distressed by the atrocities of all demons, and she takes a form of a cow, and in the form of cow she goes to Brahma, and Brahma takes her along with all the demigods to the bank of this ocean called Kshirasagara. And then on behalf of the crying earth and on behalf of the distressed demigods, Brahma starts offering Purusha Sukta prayers to the Lord Vishnu, who is lying in the milk ocean, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And then Kshirodakshaya Vishnu gives response in the form of a telepathy message in the heart of Brahma. And the Brahma decodes that message in front of all the demigods and mother cow, that is earth. And that's how the Lord sends a plan how he will come and relieve the particular misery which has been presented by Mother Earth to Brahma. Like, for example, he will say, I'll come as Lord Ram, and I will come in four forms. Chaturvyuha will be appearing, and my mother will be Kausalya, father will be Dashrath, and I will come and kill Ravana and free you of all the atrocities. So similarly, in Garga Sanhita, it is explained that when Mother Earth went to Brahma, at the time of Kamsa and many other demons, they were there in Dwapar Yuga. She went to Brahma. Brahma came down and again offered prayers, Purushukta prayers. And that time it is said in Garga Sanhita that this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu appeared personally. Generally he sends telepathy message. He doesn't come personally. He is deep in the ocean. But he appeared in front of all the demigods, physically gave darshan to him, all of them. And actually he told them, come with me. And he brought everybody, all the entourage of that particular universe, Brahma, headed by Brahma and mother cow, crying mother cow and demigods, everybody was brought to Goloka Vrindavan. And there Sri Hari appeared. And this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, as soon as Sri Hari appeared, he merged in the body of the Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Goloka Vrindavan. And then the long story, what all happened there. But point I am trying to convey to you is that whenever Mother Earth goes to Brahma, Brahma brings them to the bank of the ocean of milk. That is called Kshirasagara. And that is where, it is one of the seven oceans. We know that there is a Lavana Sagara, salty ocean. There is a Ikshu Sagara, that is a sugarcane ocean. There is a ocean of yogurt. There is an ocean of ghee, there is ocean of liquor. There are seven oceans, which were the seven sons of Viraja Devi in spiritual world. They were cursed by her because they were disturbing as children when she was meeting Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So she got disturbed and she cursed them. You will go on the material world and become seven oceans and seven different planets. So you will not be fighting together, because you are together, you are fighting and disturbing me. So one of the ocean became milk ocean, which became the seat of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So this is the background of Kshirsagar, and it's an extremely wonderful holy place, and all the demigods go there and worship Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, pray to him, he responds to them. At every time they go to him, he responds in a positive way, and that's how we say Sambhavami Yuga Yuga. The Lord comes unlimited times in every particular yuga. Many, many times he comes as per the request made by earth and demigods. So this Kshirsagara is one of the 68,000 holy places which are described in the scriptures. Our Prithvi Loka and our Brahmanda, the 14 systems, the 14 planetary systems, they have 68,000 holy places. And they are in the form of a mountain, they are in the form of a land, they are in the form of rivers, they are in the form of ponds, they are in the form of so many variety of things. And they are all people, they are not land or river. They become river, land or mountain, but they are all people, they are all living entities who are specially empowered by the Lord, who are pure-hearted souls, who have been bestowed with the capacity of purification of the conditioned souls. And like that, all the holy places, they take birth as holy places. The holy people, the spirit souls empowered by the Lord, they come down as holy places. So one of them is Kshirsagara. And what we want to discuss today very specifically is that the Kshirsagara is very, very eager, along with all the holy places, to come and take shelter in the holy place called Sri Vrindavan Dham. We all know that Sri Vrindavan Dham is the topmost of all holy places. And the difference of all the other holy places and Sri Vrindavan Dham is that in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the inhabitants do not know Sri Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are fully realized souls, but Sri Krishna steals their knowledge of He being Supreme Personality of Godhead so that He can enjoy freely with them as a son, as a thief, as a boyfriend, as anything which is simple, but the Lord, without knowing that He is Lord. So He can just, you know, be as He is, freely, without any aura or a taboo or whatever you say, without any hindrances. So He can be just free to perform whatever He wants to perform without being bogged down with the understanding that He is the Lord. So this is Vrindavan, and all the other holy places other than Vrindavan, you can say Ayodhya, you can say Dwarka, you can say Mathura, you can say Jagannath Puri, you can say anything, any holy place, Chitrakoot, Dandakaranya, Tirtha or Dham, all, every single place other than Vrindavan, there is a knowledge, there is cognizance that the Lord is Lord. And mostly there is a Dasyaras and Shantaras. But beyond Dasya and Shantaras, the Sakhyaras, the Vatsalyaras, and the Madhuryaras, Prema Madhuryaras, is all exhibited in only Vrindavan Dham. And because of this unique speciality of Vrindavan Dham, all the holy places which are people, which are living entities, they want to take shelter in that holy place, because this is the only place in the whole creation of the Lord where Lord Sri Krishna does not wear footwear. Everywhere in the spiritual Dwarka, spiritual Ayodhya, Mathura, and in the material world also, He manifests all the holy places for the deliverance of conditioned souls. Everywhere He wears footwear. Very interestingly to know, for the pleasure of Radharani and because of her desire, Sri Krishna manifested this holy place called Golok Vrindavan on the material world, on Prithvi Loka. Because all these 14 planets, Prithvi Loka He loves the most. That's why He manifests His topmost supreme abode partly on Prithvi as Bhauma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan on Bhumi, which is called Bhauma Vrindavan. And He sends full Govardhan and full Yamuna there. and because of Radharani's desire, this happened. And what is the speciality of this place is that, first I think I told you that Sri Krishna is not revealing that he is the Lord. He is not revealing to anybody that he is the Lord. He is behaving as an ordinary person. Second thing is, no opulences, no mukuta like Dwarka, and no ornaments like Dwarka. Simple dress, pitambar, peacock feather crown, holding a stick in the hand, and wearing walking barefoot without wearing any footwear. That is significant, because there is nothing called as the dust of Krishna's lotus feet anywhere in the whole creation except Vrindavan. Because everywhere else, even if he desires to walk, all the land is covered with satin. It is covered with makhmal everywhere, soft. Whole the land is covered. Wherever Krishna can possibly walk, that place is covered with makhmal. And then he wants to walk, then immediately the bejeweled, studded footwear comes. The footwear is studded with jewels, you know, shining, effulgent like anything, and he wears those footwear. And then wherever he has to go, few steps he walks on that makhmal with those chappals or shoes, and then he climbs the chariot and goes to a different place. So there is no question of Krishna's lotus feet touching the soil of that land. That is what we should understand. So there is touch of Krishna's souls to the dust particles of only Vrindavan Dham. And with the touch of Krishna and then Radharani and then Krishna's devotee friends, then Krishna's devotee girlfriends and Krishna's mother and father and elderly gopas and the cows, and you can name peacocks and parrots, whoever is, everybody is barefoot. And because of that, the dust of that land becomes extremely powerful to such an extent that all the secrets of the loving mellows of devotional service, which is called rasa, devotional mellows like prema madhurya, vatsalya madhurya, sakhya madhurya, all these beautiful madhurya rasas, the secrets of all these madhurya rasas are hidden in the dust particles of Vrindavan Dham. And all the secrets are hidden, and because of that, whenever the dust particle touches anybody, that person is bestowed upon the highest of all realizations of spiritual life. That is something which is extraordinary, which is not seen in any other holy place. Of course, we know Lord Ram walked barefoot in the forest of Dandakaranya. That's an exception. But any other Vishnu incarnations, when they came, they never put their foot on the ground. It was Lord Rama and Lakshman in Ramayana as the second best manifestation of Lord himself, you know, as Maryada Purushottam. He walked barefoot for 14 years, and that too only 14 years, not beyond that. Before that and after that, for thousands of years, before that as Rajaputra Yuvaraj, and after that as a king of Ayodhya, he was always wearing footwear. So Ayodhya doesn't have Lord's dust of lotus feet. Dandakaranya has, Chitrakoot has, and Lanka also has. But from Lanka straight he took a flight, Pushpak Viman, and then came down to Ayodhya, and he was wearing footwear that time. His vanvas was over. So point I'm trying to convey to you is that the glory of Vrindavan Dham is such that all the demigods, all the Vishnu avatars, they all are hankering to go to Vrindavan Dham to attain the dust of Vrindavan Dham. And Sri Krishna, his dust is only available in Vrindavan. So everybody wants to come there and put their head on the dust and achieve the dust. And also the dust also means as a service. Dust is a physical existence also. And in the spiritual sense, dust means service. Service to the personality whose dust you are touching. When you serve the dust, serve the lotus feet of the personality, that means you are taking the dust of that personality from lotus feet. And then Sam, the same Lord whose lotus feet dust is sought after by every single Mahatma, every single Siddha, every single demigod, every single Vishnu incarnation, he is going to one place to seek the dust. He is going to Barsana. He is going to Radharani's holy place, Radharani's hometown, where she is walking barefoot on the ground. So Krishna, whose lotus feet dust is anchored upon by everybody, he goes and rolls in the dust in Barsana, so that he gets the dust of Radharani's lotus feet. This is a very secret, confidential understanding. Somehow by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Gaudiya Vaishnavas like you and me, it's a common understanding. Everybody has, you know. But this is not known to everybody. Please understand what we have been given as knowledge, at least, not as a realization we will get in future. But the knowledge that Prabhupada is giving us about this secret of all secrets is coming down from the parampara of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what is the meaning of dust of lotus feet? What is the meaning of Braj Raj? What is the meaning of dust of Barsana? What is the secret behind all these things? Why Krishna is rolling in that dust? Why Krishna is shedding tears like rains from his eyes at the feet of Radharani and making the dust wet and then rolling in the dust, putting his head crown on the lotus feet of Radharani? All these secret things our sampradaya has been broadcasting by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now this Kshir Sagar, how it has taken shelter in Vrindavan Dham, I will tell you in short about six stories. You know that Baladev, Lord Baladev, went with Krishna to Dwarka, first Mathura and then Dwarka. And then after that, Krishna sent him, after Uddhav, Krishna sent him that you go and pacify my gopis and my father and mother, our father and mother. So the news came to Vrindavan that Balram is coming. At that time, Nanda Maharaj, he milked 100,000 Surabhi cows. And he gathered their milk into one pond called Kshir Sagar. And when Baladev appeared in Vrindavan Dham from Dwarka, at that time, Nanda Maharaj bathed him with the milk stored in that pond, in the pond only. There only he did Abhishek for Baladev. So when that milk, which was collected from 100,000 Surabhi cows, which was poured on the body of, on the head of Baladev, it became Kshir Sagar Kunda, because that time the Kshir Sagar manifested in that Kunda. So this is one place where Kshir Sagar is manifested. That is in the southmost petal of Braj Bhumi, the 84 Kroshas of Braj Bhumi, which is part of Golok Vrindavan, Bhauma Vrindavan. At the southmost petal, there is a place called Baladev, where there is a deity of Baladev, which is 6 feet and 6 inches tall. And Revati is standing there as his wife. And he is holding Varuni by one hand near his chest. And he is raising one hand above his head. That merciful darshan of Baladev is there just at the bank of Kshir Sagar Kund. Second place is called Bhojan Thali. I am not sure how many of you have gone to Bhojan Thali. Bhojan Thali is a place in Kamyavan. And Kamyavan is the second most, dearmost place after 12 forests. The first most is Vrindavan, Vrindavan forest. Vrindavan is actually called to, is a name called to a forest called Vrindavan also. And the whole 84 Kroshas, which has got 137 prime forests, is also called Vrindavan Dham. But there is also another small place called Vrindavan. Like, you know, in America, there is something called as New York City and something called as New York State. And both are existing as a counterparts of each other, within each other also. Like that, this Vrindavan forest is part of Vrindavan Dham. So, most dear to Krishna, amongst the 12 most dear forests of Krishna. The second most dear is Kamyavan. And in Kamyavan, in deep Kamyavan, there is a place called Bhojan Thali, where one princess had done tapasya to become a shila, to become a rock. And she asked a boon that I will become rock, and my rock, the rock that I will become, will have plates and cups and bowls and everything formed inside the rock only. And I will like you to sit on me and eat your lunch and dinner, lunch and whatever, breakfast, lunch, balbhog, with your friends. So Krishna blessed her and she became the rock called Indusen Shila. And Krishna performed his bhojana pastimes. Krishna loves to come there and take his prasadam, bhoga, bhojan with his friends and exchanges from each other's mouth. And so there is a place called Bhojan Thali. So at Bhojan Thali, Krishna is one of the favorite places for childhood pastimes. Krishna always comes there and plays variety of games. And one of the choices games he plays is Chor Sipahi. He becomes, he divides his coward boys into three parties. One become party of thieves, one become party of police, and one become calves, or bhediya. That means they become wolves, small baby, landga bolte isko Marathi mein. Landga manje wolf, small wolves. And then the chor will come and steal, and the police will come and catch and release those captured wolves. Bhediya bolte Hindi mein isko. So this all pastime take place, variety of games Krishna organizes there, they play there. One time Krishna came there and Balramji had come before only there. And he was somewhere else, So the coward boys came and had started their fun and funny pastimes and everything. And they suddenly realized, where is Balram? So everybody asked, where is Baldev? Where is Dauji? So Krishna did not know, nobody knew. And suddenly they started searching him. They just climbed over the Indusen Shila, went a little higher level to search. And in the small cave, Baldev was sitting alone and drinking milk from his big flask, big pot. And as the coward boys came closer to him, hey Baldev, how can you eat, how can you drink milk alone? Everything what we bring is we always share with each other. This is not a good etiquette. And they jumped on him while he was drinking milk. He was trying to drink milk faster and faster and faster. But they were very swift and they jumped on him and they snatched that pot. And when they snatched that pot, the milk got spilled over. And the milk spilled over. And it spilled over the Indusen Shila where there are pots formed already. From that it spilled over and it spilled over and spilled down and spilled down and went down and formed a big pond. And that is where the Shir Sagar again appeared. Now everybody will be wondering, a small pot of milk he had in the hand, and it is when he was drinking also, he was a small boy, and then when it got spilled over, how that unlimited pond became there to existent? This is Lord's pastime. What the Lord cannot do? Lord can come as the smallest than the smallest, and Lord can become the biggest than the biggest, and the Lord can create from one atom one ocean-like creation also. So Balram wanted to give shelter to Kshir Sagar again in Vrindavan Dham. So he allowed the coward boys to spill the milk from his hands by snatching. He allowed the milk to get spilled over. He blessed the Rajkanya also, who had become the Shila there. She flowed over that and the milk went down and formed a big pond. Today, unfortunately, there is no water there. It's a dry pond, but a very big pond named as Shir Sagar Kunda, where the Shir Sagar again appeared. Third place is Venukoop. You know that Krishna killed Vatsasura. And Vatsasura was a very furious demon. Came in the form of a calf. And Krishna and Balram noticed, this particular calf doesn't look like he came in the morning with us. I'm always very amused or amazed to hear this statement. That means there were millions of calves. There were millions of coward boys. And what is Krishna saying? This particular calf did not come with us in the morning. That means what? Each and every calf and each and every coward boy who came with Krishna in the morning, Krishna knew them personally by one, by their individual names, by their mother and father's names, by their family. Everything detail he knew. That's why this particular calf, when he was looking a little weird with big eyes and his whole demeanor was very cruel means cruel. So Balram spoke in the ears of Krishna, look at this, he doesn't look like our calf. Krishna said in the ear, he is not calf, he is a demon, he has come to destroy us, so let's go and kill him. So he said, Balramji, shall I go and kill him? Balram said, yes, I bless you, please go and kill him. So Krishna went behind, held the tail of the calf whirled him on the sky and smashed him on the ground, and Vatsasura was killed. Bro, Vatsasura Mardan Bhagavan ki jai. And then he came to gopis, you know, with great pride. See how wonderful I am. I killed Vatsasura. But the gopis were not in that mood. They were in different mood. They said, Vatsasura is a calf. He is our father is bull. Our mother is cow. And our calf is our child. We consider him like our brother and sister. And you have killed that and you are very proud of that. What nonsense. You have become bhrashta. You have become contaminated. You need to go to holy places and take bath, because he was pleading. No, he was a demon. You don't understand, he's a demon. He has come in the disguise of calf. He had to be killed to save all of you. You know, don't misunderstand me. But they were not in the mood to understand anything. Krishna said, okay, tell me now. I'm sorry if you don't understand. I'm sorry. Tell me. Are I cannot stay without talking to you. You say you abandon me. You don't talk to me. You are untouchable now. It's difficult for me. It's another significant thing. Krishna can give up everything. But if a coward boys or if a gopi says, we'll not talk to you, we renounce you, then it's the biggest threat for Sri Krishna. One who is not, I mean, the fear personified is fearful of that person called Krishna. That Krishna is fearful of one dhamki of gopis and gopas, you know. So now he's saying, oh my lord, don't say that you will not meet me. Please tell me what I can do. So they said that you have to go to all the holy places in all the universe. So he said, hey, you will not believe me if I go also. You will say, where you went? Where's the proof? Where's the photograph? You didn't say a photograph to us where you were taking bath in this tirtha and that tirtha. So to do eyewitness situation, I will invite all the holy places. And he dug a well with his flute. He dug a well and he invited all the 68,000 holy places in different forms in the well. There are also mountains, there are also lands, there are also rivers, there are also ponds, and there are every single thing, Kalpavruksha, everything appeared inside the well, and the well got filled up, and Krishna took bath in that in front of the gopi as witness, and then he said, now I am free. So that is called Venukup. And when all the holy places came, even the Shirsagar came, took shelter of Venukupa. I'll tell you in the end exactly what happened little later. And then you know there are two kundas called Bimal Kund and Radha Kund. Krishna married crores of daughters of Sindhu Naresh, King Bimala. And he brought them to Kamevan. And he danced. And he danced and he performed Ras Leela. And he performed Ras Leela. At that time again 68,000 holy places. When he danced, first the tear water and the sweat water, that is Svedajal and Ashrujal, it came out of the body and eyes of Krishna and all the crores of girls whom he got recently married. They performed Ras Leela and a beautiful form was pond was formed, and which was named by Krishna as Bimal Kunda. And the principal daughter of the all crores of daughters of Bimal Kund, Bimal Raja, was called as Bimla. So Bimla Devi was a principal. He became principal queen of Krishna. And King Bimal, after he witnessed this beautiful pastime, he got Sarupya Mukti by the mercy of the Lord. So if you go to Bimal Kund today also, there's one nice temple where there are two Krishnas. One is the original Krishna and one is the Sarupya Murti, Sarupya form achieved Bimal Raja. And in between there is a Kanya called Bimla Devi. So when this pond was formed, Krishna announced that this pond will be the topmost of all holy places. Tirtha Raj, king of all holy places, king of all ponds. So as soon as it was announced, all the holy places entered in that to take shelter. And obviously, even Sir Sagar entered and took shelter there. It's the ocean-like big pond, you know, in Kamevan. Very, very beautiful place. Extremely beautiful place. Even today also it is maintained. There are, I think, not less than 50 temples there around Bimal Kund. Of each temple has one variety of pastime, one deep pastimes of many sadhus and devotees and the Lord himself. And next is Radha Kund. And Radhakund Krishna was trying to play flute in the evening times, twilight time, at the bottom of Govardhan, in the corner of Govardhan. And that time they heard loud cries and loud garjana. And you know, Arishtasur came, and then Krishna killed Arishtasur. And then the gopis said that, "Oh, don't come and talk to us. You have become very sinful and contaminated. How dare you kill a bull? He's our father. He's our dharma. We believe in dharma. And the dharma personified is bull, our father. And cow is our mother. We will not talk to you." Again, same thing. Krishna is explaining. "Hey, he's a bull. I agree with you. But he's a demon. He caused so many abortions in gopis. He caused so much damage. He created mountains of stool by passing purposely. He created rivers of urine that he passed purposely. He made the gopis so fearful that they aborted their babies." You can understand how much, what kind of atrocities and terror that he created. "I saved you from all that. I killed him." He said, "We don't understand anything of you. You killed a bull. You are contaminated." So he said, "Okay, Baba, tell us. What? Tell me what I should do." He said, "Go to all the universe and all the holy places. Take bath there." He said, "No. You will not believe that if I have done that. So I will call them here." So all of them appeared. And Krishna, one of the hoof prints, one of the footprints of Arishtasur, he dug it more by his flute, by his leg also. And all those holy places entered there, and Shyamakunda was formed. And then Krishna said, Krishna took bath with all the coward boys, and he came very proudly in front of Gopi, said, "I am free from the so-called sin of killing a bull." And he said, "Now you gopis, headed by Radharani, you are contaminated because you sided the demon. You spoke from the side of the demon. You are contaminated because you sided the demon. Now you have to take bath in all the holy places to get free from that sin of siding a deadly demon." And he said, "By the way, one kund is ready here. You can take bath there also." So that time Radharani said, "No, we will not take bath in that kunda, because in that kunda you have left the sin of killing Arishtasur. The kund is contaminated by the sin of killing of Arishtasur. We will create our own kunda." At that time Radharani dug by her bangles just in the next area of Shyamakund, and then started queuing up from that area to Manasi Ganga. Obviously Manasi Ganga was created before that. So they queued up, and the first gopi was at the mouth of Manasi Ganga, lifting one pot of water and transferring all the way. Even today it is about 3 to 4 kilometers, and they were passing and then put in that hole which they created by, you know, by the bangles, broken bangles. And it is said two ghatika, one ghatika is 48 minutes, two ghatika they were attempting and attempting and attempting, and hardly any filling was done. And Krishna had told all the holy places personified by his sidelong glances, "Don't go, wait." So then there were sweat drops on the beautiful forehead of Radharani and gopis. And Krishna said, "Why you are doing such hard labor? Look at your foreheads. So many droplets of sweat have been formed. So much of parishram you are doing. Why don't you give some service to these holy places? They already come there." Then he signals by his eyes, and four of the chief holy places come down. From standing on the sky, little bit higher, they come down at the ground and they fell at the feet of Radharani, and they begged, offered prayers, "Radharani, please give us service. Why are you working so hard? We are waiting for your service. It's a rare occasion. We don't get to come in Vrindavan Dham anyways. Today we have come to get a chance to come here and serve, and we have got shelter in Shyamakund. Why don't you also allow us to serve you and please you and get your blessings?" So the Param Karuna Mai, Daya Mai, Vatsalya Mai, Prema Mai, Radharani's heart melts, and she allows them. "Okay, I agree with you, please serve." And immediately they all jump in, and all the holy places, they fill up that small hole and make it into a very big pond. And then Krishna says, while the pond was being formed, "This is not a pond, this is not water, this water is liquefied pure love of Radharani that she has for me. This water is non-different from the love. This is liquid water, liquid prema of Radharani." Then he said, "Whoever will take bath in this pond, he will achieve the love that Radharani has for me. Second boon. Then he said, whoever will take bath in this Radhakund will achieve the love that I have for Radharani. And this place will become the topmost of all the holy places in all universe. He declared that. Attaining the bank of Radhakund will be the goal of life for devotees. He also declared that. And in that also, Radhakund, Shir Sagar also appeared. Now I'll tell you a very interesting thing. Then Radharani said, I also say that even if you killed such 100 bulls, I will keep taking bath in Shyamkund. And Radharani comes every day and takes bath at 11:48 a.m. in the morning with her 64 chosen sakis to take bath in Shyamkund every day to express her love. And she plays chess at one ghat called Pasha Khela Ghat at the banks of Shyamkund. And Krishna gets defeated by her in the Pasha Khela, in the Chaucer, in the dice game. Now, you know that Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, renovated that place, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one who manifested that place by his deep meditation at Tamal Tala at the bank of Shyamkund, and he revealed those two puddles of water, and he instructed Raghunath Das Goswami to develop them into proper holy places and proper ponds, and Raghunath Das Goswami developed it to today's condition, little better than that, and then many more people came and then they developed the Radhakund and Shyamkund. Now, of late, maybe about maybe a couple of years back, I saw it in about 5-10 years back, when amongst the many times that Radhakund was cleansed, it was being cleansed that time also, it was emptied by motors, you know, and they reached the place called Kankan Kunda. There is a subset of Radhakund called Kankan Kunda, and the Kankan Kunda is the original Kunda which Radharani built actually. So then they emptied that also, and then they saw that when they took out all the mud, you can say, or the debris, you can say, they took out by JCB that debris, and then when they reached the very bottom of Radhakund and Shyamkund, they saw springs of milk coming from that, which were flying high in the sky. And not only milk springs, but many other springs were coming from the bottom in the sky. And they had to, then what they had to do is, they could not contain, they could not control, they could not manage those high speed springs of water coming out of the ground and going kilometers in the sky. So they had to put cement bags over them to block them. And that's how they could renovate and rebuild the whole borders, and they refill the water. So much of all the holy places, water bodies are still existing over there. And the miracle that takes place on Radhakund appearance day, Radhakund actually manifested in the middle of the night at midnight. Krishna played flute in the evening, then he fought for some time, 1 or 2 hours, then 1 or 2 hours he created Shyamkund, took bath, then Radharani, 2 ghatikas, she tried up, and by the time they reached the peak of creation of Radhakund, it was midnight, Bahulashtami, at midnight, Saptami night, that is beginning of Ashtami, midnight. Some people celebrate on Saptami night, some people celebrate on Ashtami night, both are bona fide. So on that day, when the birth or appearance time of Radhakund comes, it comes in time, that time milk starts coming out of Radhakund, and Brijvasis have witnessed it. Every year they witness that. Every single year they witness that. Because that Shirsagar part of Radhakund becomes overwhelmed with joy and manifests itself or himself in the form of milk which is coming out. And at that time, when the milk comes out from down on the surface of the water of Radhakund, all the Brijvasis just jump in the water with their clothes and bags and everything. That is the opportune moment they want to catch up to get purified. Another occasion this happens is when Somavati Amavasya comes. When Amavasya falls on Monday, that is called Somavati Amavasya. And on Somavati Amavasya, even Venukoop gets flooded and milk comes out of that. The water becomes white and milky. And Somavati Amavasya, Radhakund also becomes milky. Bimalkund also becomes milky. And it is said that you may go and see that, but you may not be able to see that. And the pure-hearted souls, they see that and they jump in the water. Some people see, some people don't see, but some people see when they say, we see and they jump, then everybody also jumps and takes bath. So, Somavati Amavasya gives milk oozing out in Venukupa, in Bimalkunda, Radhakunda also. And last place, I told you about Venukup, Radhakund, Bimalkund, Bhojanthali and Baldev. These are all manifest places even today also. You can go and have darshan. Even if they are dry, you can go and see them. But there is one place which is not manifest today. And I will tell you the story, very interesting story. But you know, very loving story. But I have to tell you with short that when Krishna was born, all the Brijbasis were so happy that our king has finally become father, finally our queen has become mother. Such a fortunate event. We must celebrate, and everybody came running, dressed up nicely with flowers, ornaments and dresses. They got lot of gifts and everything. And they got lots of butter balls, they got lots of milk and lots of yogurt with them. It's like crores and crores of gopalas and gopis. They brought tons and tons of butter balls and yogurt pots and so much, you know, it was like a unlimited collection. And Nanda Maharaj had got lakhs of cows, and he has got lots of stocks of butter. Nandagaon gopis and gopalas have so much of stocks, and they all brought them there, and they were trying throwing the butter balls, you know, on each other. So much wealth and opulence. And what happened? The courtyard of Nanda Baba, it had big space. And also some drainage, nani traps, you know, where the rain water will go. So these milk balls, there were so many in number, they were thrown like anything, unlimitedly. They went and blocked those nani traps wherever it could have, you know, it could have drained. And over and above that, they threw milk abundantly, they threw yogurt abundantly. And very soon, because of blockage, the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj's ashram became blocked and became a collection of milk and yogurt and a mixture, as if it was Sher Sagar. And then it said that the collection of these liquid dahi and milk, it became like up till the half abdomen of Nanda Maharaj, above the waist. Nanda Maharaj was inside the waist up to the chest border. All the gopas and gopis were there inside the water milk collection up to the chest border. And then the cowherd boys, they became so much overwhelmed in mood of love. They said, Nanda Baba, you have to dance. Today is birth of your baby. We are so happy. So he said, Baba, I am 85-year-old man. I cannot dance. I am old man now. No, you have to dance. No, I cannot dance. No, you have to dance. Then they said, you don't want to dance. You can dance. We will make you dance. Then they brought long cloth. They collected the cloth and made a long rope of that. And they made one round around the abdomen, which was big. And one end of the cloth was held by one group of gopalas. Another group held up the cloth, which was very long, held by the other group of gopalas. And they started pulling alternately. Like we pull our dahi. When we are doing dahi mantan, what we do? We pull one side, then we pull other side. So like that, one time they will pull and one time they will pull. So Nanda Baba will go like this. He will like this and like this. One side and one side. One side and one side. So they made Nanda Baba into Mandara mountain. He, like a Mandara mountain, he was twisting forcefully by the pressure, loving pressure of the cloth. And like that they made him get twisted like Mandara mountain. And that's how it is said that Samudra Manthan, Kshirasagar Manthan took place at the courtyard of Nanda Baba. So Kshirasagar also appeared there for some time. And then Kshirasagar disappeared from there after some time, after the festival got over. It is said that the festival continued for 6 months. So Kshirasagar stayed at the bottom of Nandagaon and the courtyard of Nandagaon for that much time. And when the whole celebration got over, Sher Sagar disappeared. So this is a beautiful, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places, Sher Sagar is still present in Vrindavan Dham. And the sixth place is still present in your thoughts, in your consciousness. So I am very happy to tell you about this unique story of Shir Sagar, which manifested. A great devotee of the Lord in the form of milk ocean serves the Lord greatly by giving the Lord asana, and also comes down to the Braj Bhumi to take shelter and to get delivered. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai ho! Shir Sagar Dham ki jai ho! Now if anybody has questions, you can ask me.
Thank you for another wonderful class, Pumini. It was very nectarian. And it looks like, you know, we are just still in Vrindavan, very hot there.
No, Shir Sagar is very, very cool and very pleasant and very tasty and very nice. So don't think about the heat. Think of the milk, cool milk of Surubhi cows.
Okay. Very wonderful lecture, very nice. Thank you very much. There's one question been asked. What exactly should we do at Radhakunda? Because as you mentioned, we should have a bath. But we have been also told that we should not step into Radhakunda.
Yes, yes. So the boon also is correct, and what you said also is correct. Both are correct simultaneously, because Prabhupada wanted his devotees to understand the gravity and the seriousness and the divine powers that are there in Radhakund. Can I have a full look? I can see everybody, please, if you don't mind. Can you make me the grid
view? Can you just do that?
Yeah, make it like everybody appearing on the screen, if possible. Very important to understand that Radhakund is the topmost of all holy places. If one achieves Radhakund, there is nothing else to achieve beyond that, you know. I heard His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj saying that one should try to avoid staying in Radhakund, because once you go there is nothing else to achieve. So you become proud and you become lazy and you become go in Maya. So let Radhakund always be an aspiring location. We should only keep aspiring for that location. I still request you, put me on that view, please, grid view.
Guru, you have to see the corner, right corner, right side corner. It's in the
boat. Gallery view. Yes, very good. That's it. That's the devotee darshan. Very good. Very nice. So, so when devotees jumped in Radhakund and, you know, they started flashing water and everything, he said, get out of Radhakund. You are not qualified to enter Radhakund. Radhakund is not a play sport place. It's not a sporting place. Radhakund is worshipable place. And you know, we went to Vrindavan in 1986 for the first time. The first ever yatra that was taken by Radha Gopinath Temple with Radhanath Swami Maharaj was in 1986 December. And from 1986 December till 1998 Vrindavan yatra, we were not allowed to take bath in Radhakund. Only Achman. That's it. And in 1998, His Holiness Sachinandana Maharaj was with us. And with that, 2000 devotees went to Radhakund at about 7 o'clock in the evening. And then Sachinandana Maharaj and Radhanath Swami Maharaj, they both gave lecture for 45 minutes. It went into darkness till 8 o'clock, 8:15. And they explained the gravity of the whole place and the importance of the whole place. And then they explained, now you should just keep complete mauna, complete silence, and nobody will talk anything, nobody will utter a word, and you will go and take bath in Radhakund, then you will go and take bath in Shyamakund, and again you will take bath in Radhakund, and only chant Hare Krishna and don't say any word, don't talk to anyone. And believe me, 2000 people with pin drop silence, they took bath in Radhakund, Shyamakund and Radhakund. And that's how we had to wait for so many years. And after that, again, no permission. That was the only time we took bath in Radhakund. And then next year, immediately, I took yatra to Vrindavan. And I was at Kusum Sarovar. And I was glorifying Radhakund, preparing their mood to go to Radhakund area. So then naturally, question came, Prabhu, what about taking bath? So somehow that time, I just instantly, I could call Radhanath Swami. And he instantly answered, if you can create the mood that we created last year in 98 in Radhakund, then they can take bath. If you think you cannot create, then they will take Achman bath. So I gave them another 45 minute lecture and really grilled them like anything. And they really promised me they will not talk from Kusum Sarovar till they walk till Radhakund, and they will not talk a single word till they come out of the whole area of Radhakunda area and leave the whole ghira. You know, ghira means that circle. And all the, I think 200 devotees were there in the camp, and they all walked with me in complete silence, and they entered Radhakund and take bath in Radhakund, Shyamkund, Radhakund, and they kept chanting all throughout, took their clothes, changed their clothes, and they walked out of the Radhakund area, then they opened their mouth. So I remember this. So what is the message behind this is, Radhakund is a very serious place, extremely powerful place, and one has to actually create that mood of gravity and seriousness and appreciation and awe and reverence and prayerful mood, and then take a dip, and not that you take, you know, start enjoying the water. You can take 50 dips, no problem, but each devotee's name you should take. I remember I took something like in the middle of the cold, I took 219 dips, taking everybody's name, whomever I remembered. It was very cold, but I thought, who else will get the opportunity in the company of such great stalwart swamis and devotees, 2000 devotees taking bath, is so auspicious and pure. Let me go and taking dip, and whatever names I remembered, I took about 231 dips that time. But then after that, I have not taken any devotees to take bath over there, because the number one, the water has become very, materially contaminated. People don't appreciate so much, and it smells bad, and they will create offensive mood if you let them touch the water and take bath in water. They will offend Radhakund, and it is not good for their consciousness. So these days we don't allow devotees to take bath in Radhakund. We give lecture, we create the mood, but we create the mood for Achvanam. That is the understanding that we have. Jai ho, I see Gopi Priyad Mataji there. Wow, so auspicious darshans. I can see Achyut Madhav Prabhu. Wow, Srinivas. Where is Gopa Kumar Prabhu? Oh, Tulsi Gopi also is there. Wow, so many devotees, so wonderful. So nice to see everybody. Wow, many of you I know, many of you I don't know also. But in one sense, I know all of you, because all of us are brothers and sisters from Golok Vrindavan. Any other question anybody has?
You can raise your hand if anybody has a question, please.
This is Anantarupa Mataji. Yeah, I know her. Wow. From Mira Road, you vanished over there, huh? Looks like. Okay.
Guru, we are here in Shatya. Hare Krishna.
Who's that?
Anantarupa.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
One question is,
yes.
You are telling very nice, good pastimes of Radha and Krishna many times. I'm a regular listener of your lectures. So, these pastimes are not in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, these are, where can we get this kind of rasa?
There are many scriptures. All these places are not described in Bhagavatam. South part of Vrindavan, what we know as Vrindavan, where 7 temples are there, and these are all there in Goswami literatures and everything. But the northern part beyond Govardhan are not mentioned in our scriptures. They are there in Garga Sanhita. They are there in Govinda Lilamruta. They are in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. They are in Gopal Champu. And much beyond that, there are Braj Premananda Sagar, Braj Bhakti Vilas, written by Narayan Bhatt Goswami. In all these scriptures, you will find this Pili Pokhar and, Prem Sarovar and Prem Vival Kunda, and all these wonderful places are described in those literatures. Somehow, by the mercy of all the Brajvasis, we got to know the scriptures, and we somehow found us. Whatever names I told you, I found them, and I keep reading them. That is my greatest fortune in life. And then many of the pastimes I have heard from great Brajvasi Mahatmas. In their whatever time I got with them, I heard the kathas. And my habit is, whenever I hear something new, I put on paper immediately. And suppose today I came to know one more thing about Pili Pokhar, so I'll immediately go and write in Pili Pokhar chapter of my notes. So I'll keep on replenishing and keep on, augmenting the knowledge and information. So next time when I give class, even that information will be told in that lecture. The new story of that place. Like that, when I came to know this time, yes.
These Granthas, these Shastras.
No, first tell your name and then tell. I don't know who I to look. आई वॉन्ट टू सी यू. हाँ हाँ ओली ओके यस.
तो पूछ रहा था कि ये कौन सी भाषा में, इंग्लिश में?
नो नो नो, संस्कृत में है एंड ब्रज भाषा में भी है. कभी कभी बहुत डिफिकल्ट होता है समझने में. द होल बुक इज इन ब्रज भाषा, सो समहाउ आई अंडरस्टैंड इट, सो आई एंजॉय इट, बट वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड अदरवाइज. यस. एनी अदर क्वेश्चन? यस प्रभु जी, हु इज दैट? हाँ रसामृत प्रभु, यस अबू धाबी. जय हो.
Hearing this wonderful pastimes, you transported us to Braj Dham. I felt like it is a combination of Vaikuntha and Golok Vrindavan together. Chir Sagar in
the yes.
Very nice.
Everything is connected. Everything is connected, you know. All the spiritual world is connected.
So I just have a small question, Prabhu. You know, somebody had asked me this question.
Please.
Krishna was in Nandagaon, Radharani was in Barsana, and they will come and do many pastimes in Vrindavan.
Haan.
Basically very far, like it takes 1 hour by drive. So, you know, this devotee actually asked me a question that how come, you know, like it was like, I gave meaning, I don't know,
it's very simple, Prabhuji. It is very simple. First of all, our brain is of brain of Kali Yuga, number one, very limited, private, most private and most limited. And then there is a difficulty in us that we are not transcendental, we are material and we are very much materially bound, conditioned souls. So there's another limitation. First is limitation of brain itself, then is conditioning, also further limit is there. And then the divine understanding is something else, totally different from what we know. The divine understanding is the Braj Bhumi is like lotus flower. See this lotus flower. It can become like this, blossoming. It can become close. Whenever Krishna wants, it becomes closer, becoming the petals together. It can become as far as possible by expansion. So if he wants to expand it, it can become much more like that. When he wants it to become smaller, it can become like that. So that calculation we can never understand. Today's our calculation is what? Oh, it takes 1 hour from Barsana to Vrindavan. It was taking 2 hours before when the road was not good. And from Govardhan to Barsana, Vrindavan, it takes 28 kilometers. And it takes 19 kilometers from Govardhan to Barsana. And from Nandagaon to Barsana is 7 kilometers. Is all our laukik understanding. Everything is material when we talk like this. But in divine understanding, there is no distance and there is far distance at the same time in both the places. That is our understanding.
Thank you, bro. Very, very wonderful.
One question. Yes, who is asking?
One question from Arjun Jivan Prabhu.
Ha, Prabhu.
Yes, a question.
Yes.
Arjun Jivan Prabhu.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes, bully.
Yes,
Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji. That is true. That is true. That is why we also say that Bharat Bhumi is very special. Bharat Bhumi is a blessed Bhumi. Many sages have also walked barefoot. Mahaprabhu walked barefoot from Navadvipa, in all Navadvipa he walked barefoot. From Navadvipa to Jagannathpuri he walked barefoot. To Katak he walked barefoot. From there he went to Sannyas, from there to Jagannathpuri. From there all over South India tour he walked barefoot. He went to Pandharpur, from there went to Jagannathpuri again. He went to Vrindavan from Jagannathpuri walking. Again went back from Vrindavan to Jagannathpuri, all that barefoot. All that track of land is simply bestowed with unlimited mercy by the Lord. That is true. Thank you for adding that. Very nice point.
Hello. So, may I ask you a question?
Yes, please ask.
Sudhir Kamat, Father Ram. See, your lecture has been very nectarine for me. And only thing is that I wanted to know the description you gave. Can it be found in the Bhagavatam also?
Prabhuji, I answered that question to you.
Bhagavatam.
In Bhagavatam, you see that till the Brahma Sammohan Leela, till the 14th chapter of 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada translated. Okay, then Srila Prabhupada left this world, and then what happened? The disciples of Srila Prabhupada came together, and then they translated. Okay, so in the, when we reach that chapter of Arishtasura Vadha, that time the description was given by Gopi Pranadhan Prabhu and you know, many other great souls like Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj, and they have taken excerpts from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sararth Darshini, and they have described in detail who all came. There are many shlokas, there are 20 shlokas in that purport they have quoted, and the 20 shlokas is the ocean of nectar. What exactly happened, who spoke what, which holy place introduced himself or herself as what, all that is explained. And then how they convinced Radharani to take their service, that is explained. How Radhakund is formed, that is explained. So it is not in Bhagavatam as such. Bhagavatam describes till Arishtasura Vadha, but then our acharyas, our gurus, our Prabhupada disciples, they have gone ahead and described by the mercy of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and his books, they have described everything in detail. And if you go further, there is a big book set of 20 books by written by Danavira Goswami. I forgot to mention to you. Danavira Maharaj had written one more commentary on Garga Sahita, and there are 20 volumes of that. And in that, he has given references from more than 25 scriptures, like Adi Purana and Adi Varaha Purana and so many Puranas. Wherever there is mention of that particular place, these are explained. So I am always wondering, you know, in this lifetime, can I be able to study all these things? My heart is always attracted to these interpretations of Garga Sahita by Danavira Goswami, which is in my house library. Then I see Navavrindavan Mahima by Shivaram Swami, NVM. There are big books, you know, and there are about 12 books, and there are about 600 pastimes in those books. Amazing pastimes, unbelievable pastimes, and all references also given from which scripture the pastimes are there. So I'm reading them as on whenever I get time, and I get thrilled when I read them. So this life is meant to only dive in the ocean of nectar of Krishna. Please understand, this life is not meant for anything else, just to maintain your soul and body, do the needful, and all the other time is meant for diving, and always remain dived in the ocean of nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. How many of you are totally present here now? How many of you are there totally?
There were 70 I seen last, and okay. As I told you, there are some families at the back. So make
watching you. Multiple sharing of the screen. Thank you very much. I have my counselors meeting starting in 10 minutes time.